I'll call the meeting to order, the Legislative Budget Office Oversight Commission, today being Tuesday, June 18th, 2019, for the audio record. And so we're glad to have our members here today. Just a little housekeeping for those of you who need to, if you just take care of the form in your folder, and by the end of the meeting today, just turn it in to me or to Ms. Ho, whoever it works out for you, the closest that you are to, that would be great. And we're glad to have you here. And because of the, this is the first commission meeting that is, we are fully established and we've gone through a legislative cycle. So we're going to do a little introductions. And as you are coming forward, Ms. Weber, when you're coming forward with your staff, we're going to ask them to just give a brief introduction of themselves, a little bit of their background and so on when it comes time for them. But in the meantime, we'll start with Mr. Marks here. If you will just go ahead and, again, your name and the office that you represent.
Bill Marks, Chief Fiscal Analyst in the House.
I'm Britta Raton, a State Budget Director with MMB.
Representative Bob Vogel, House District 28.
So you're supposed to turn that on. I'm Lyndon Carlson. I represent parts of the cities of Crystal, New Hope, and Plymouth.
Thank you very much, Representative Carlson. And yes, the Senate committee hearing rooms, in the House, I believe the mics are always on. You have to turn them off.
And some members have learned the hard way.
Yes.
That they're always on in the House.
Yes, that's why I thought I always have to remind myself when I'm in a House committee hearing. Senator?
Hi, I'm Senator Melissa Wickland, and I represent District 50.
Jim Nobles, Legislative Auditor, and representing the Office of the Legislative Auditor.
Mm-hmm. Eric Nauman, Lead Fiscal Analyst in the Senate.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And because we do not have a quorum, and I'm Senator Mary Kiffmeyer, Chair of the Legislative Budget Office Oversight Commission, and we are glad to be here today, and we do not have a quorum today, but this was an informational hearing to just give an opportunity for staff and for others to get some feedback for Ms. Weber in setting things up. So we're going to go ahead and fulfill that, but because the first agenda item is minutes and we need a quorum, we're not able to do that. So, Representative Neuer, welcome. I think you have a name plate there. We've gone around the table and have just stated our name and district, if you want the city as well, that you represent. If you need to flip on your microphone, it's different than the House.
I'm used to this now. Good morning. My name is Mahmoud Nur. I represent District 60B, Minneapolis. Thank you for having me here today.
Glad to have you. And members, to remind you, when you're done speaking, to also turn off your microphone, or it'll pick up all your little conversations as we go. So we will be skipping the first agenda item, the meeting minutes. So I have read them through, and there's nothing that needs any approval or vote today at any rate, but we'll do the official vote on the meeting minutes at our next meeting when we have quorum. The next item on our agenda is the Legislative Budget Office update, and Ms. Weber will launch into the Legislative Budget Office budget and staffing update. Welcome, Ms. Weber. Glad to have you here today.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Good morning. I'm Michelle Weber, Director of the Legislative Budget Office. In your packets, you have a copy of a PowerPoint presentation that I'll be referring to throughout
Ms. Weber, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but this is true for you and for anybody who testifies. You have to get really close to that microphone in our Senate building. You have to almost put your mouth right up to the mic itself, and then it'll record better also for our recording, but also for hearing what you have to say.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair.
That's better.
In your packets, you have a PowerPoint presentation that I'll be referring to throughout the introductory presentation that I'll be giving here this morning. I'm planning to provide you an update on the Legislative Budget Office, both our budget and the outcome of the most recent legislative session, as well as our staffing plan. two other individuals from the Legislative Budget Office who will introduce themselves and tell you a little bit about them that are leading our efforts related to the fiscal note tracking system. We'll provide an overview of those changes. And then we have other individuals from the office who will speak to activities that we're engaged in to get feedback and input into the uniform standards and procedures that we have to have in place by September 1st of this year. At the conclusion of today's meeting, we do have two draft standards to present to you for discussion. During the 2019 legislative session, I had made a request for additional resources to provide additional staff for the office. The outcome of the session included in Chapter 10, the state government omnibus bill, additional resources for the Legislative Budget Office. In fiscal year 20, we received $86,000, and in fiscal year 21, we received an additional $665,000. These resources will be used to provide additional staff for the office. We will be adding five additional staff and can also be used to offset costs of a permanent office location and a potential lease for the office. One item of note is that there is a reduction to the base budget beginning in fiscal year 20. It goes to $1,193,000, which is a $290,000 reduction from the budget in fiscal year 21. Currently, there are seven staff within the office, including myself. There's a coordinator and five analysts. With the new financial resources, we'll be adding four additional analysts and a deputy director to the office. What this will allow us to do under the original base budget for the office with a staff of five analysts, we were looking at nearly 300 fiscal notes per analyst, really large assignment areas. An example of this would have been in our economic development, environment, and agriculture area. We would have had one analyst responsible for all of that. In our health and human services area, one analyst. What this will allow us to do is it will allow us to manage the quantity and complexity of fiscal notes and have those assignment areas be more reasonable so that we don't unintentionally compromise the timeliness of fiscal note information being provided to the legislature. In your packets, you also have a larger document. It's legal size and has it's a chart that provides an overview of the work plan for the Legislative Budget Office. We are focused on a variety of activities. This work plan is reflective of right now through the end of December. We're anticipating and working towards hiring the additional staff for the office by the end of July or beginning of August to give them sufficient time to be trained in and develop the expertise in their policy areas to assume oversight of the fiscal note process. We're also engaged in multiple activities around the development of the uniform standards and procedures, efforts to gather input and feedback from our various stakeholders that you'll hear more about. And you're also going to hear more about the implementation of fiscal note tracking system changes that are underway in partnership with Minnesota Management and Budget. Other activities that are essential to the success of the office are both developing relationships and building expertise in the policy areas that the analysts will be responsible for. Doing things like meeting with agency chief financial officers and their teams that are involved in the fiscal note process, meeting with committee chairs and legislative staff who are consumers of fiscal notes and are also engaged in the process. So we'll be participating in those types of activities. And then to build the analytical experience, we're both looking at fiscal notes that were processed during the 2019 legislative session and conducting some case studies, as well as looking at certain topics that we're anticipating will come forward during the next legislative session and doing research in those areas so that when presented with a fiscal note from an agency, we have an understanding of the policy initiative that's under consideration. So with that concludes my portion of the overview, and if there are any questions, I'm happy to take them.
Members, any questions? Representative Carlson.
Yes, I'm interested in when you say doing research. You know, we do have nonpartisan research. We also have the caucus research groups. When you go down that road, what are you going to be doing that's different than what they're providing for us? or will you simply be turning to the research that they've done to develop a better understanding of what the fiscal implications might be?
Ms. Weber.
So, Madam Chair and Representative Carlson, the research that's being completed is just internal to the office. It's not something that we're planning to publish or doing on behalf of members. It's more to build the staff's awareness of the various policy issues that come up in each of the assignment areas that are underway. And so one product that we would look to in conducting that research might be the research summaries that were produced by House Research or Senate Counsel during the last legislative session as a foundational document to understand the issue, as well as if there was a fiscal note that was completed, we would be looking at that. And maybe things that might be happening nationwide or watching committee hearings to see what the discussion points were. It's those types of activities that we'll be engaging in an effort just to build the capacity within the Legislative Budget Office to analyze the fiscal note information that we receive from the agencies from a reasonableness perspective.
Yeah. Representative Carlson.
And Madam Chair, the reason I ask that question is that when we use the word research, as I alluded to in my question, you know, we have two departments that, depending on the kind of research that's being done, that provides that to members and other staff. And as you know, as this process unfolds, one of my concerns is duplication. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that you're not duplicating research that's already being done by other entities in both the House and the Senate. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Carlson. Members, Representative Neuer.
Madam Chair, Mr. Weber, I have a question about the tracking system. Is that something that is more transparent to the members? You know, when you send a request, we don't see the transactions that are happening. Is there a timeline, a time frame? Is there automated computer system that we're going to be using?
Ms. Weber.
Madam Chair and Representative Neuer, the fiscal note tracking system is a system that was a technical system that had been developed by Minnesota Management and Budget to manage both the workflow process, so the request for a fiscal note, the assignment of fiscal notes to agencies, and the capturing of the data and information that agencies provide that ultimately results in the fiscal notes that is produced and published for members and the public. So there are email notifications within that system, but it's primarily a system that is used by staff. It is not directly used by members.
Thank you, Ms. Weber. Representative Neuer.
Madam Chair, Ms. Weber, the question that I have is we want more transparency and be able to interact with the process, and knowing that I've requested a physical note, for example, as a member, I don't know exactly, you know, what steps do they have to undertake. If there is something that is blocking the way, if I need to clarify something, some few things may not be clarified by staff. It has to go back to the member. That type of interaction and making sure that there's a smooth transition to having something that I can really use is something that I'm looking forward to. Mm-hmm. If there's a need for discussion, we do have some different systems, the workflows that you've talked about, that engages the members to know what is really happening and not to wait for the last minute and you get a physical note too late with a huge physical impact. So I appreciate if we can work together. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Representative Neuer. Ms. Weber, did you want to reply to that?
Yes, Madam Chair and Representative Neuer, I think that's an excellent transition to some of the things that we're going to provide you updates on in terms of feedback we received through our survey that we did of stakeholders and the focus groups. We're looking at ways to identify early on if there are differing interpretations of the legislation between what the author believes the legislation is doing and what an agency is interpreting it to do. We want to be making those connections early on so that either bill amendments could be processed or we can make sure that there's a better awareness of what assumptions will be included in the fiscal note and ultimately what the fiscal note will have included in it.
Thank you, Ms. Weber. And I think as we go forward here, Representative Neuer, as Ms. Weber alluded to, I think that'll come into more clarity as we go forward. All right. Okay. With that, Ms. Weber, you mentioned the next area.
Yes, Madam Chair, I'd like to invite Catherine Ho and Joe Harney to the table to provide an overview of the fiscal note tracking system changes that are being pursued.
Ms. Ho, Mr. Harney, welcome to the Oversight Commission. Glad to have you here today, and welcome. as newer staff. Being forward, pretty soon you'll be the senior members, as you'll have new ones coming forward. That'll be good. But at any rate, if you, Ms. Weber, do you want to proceed and introduce, or do you want them to just jump right in?
Madam Chair, I think it would be great if they introduced themselves for the record and sure. provided a little bit on their background.
Madam Chair, members, my name is Joe Harney. I'm an analyst with the Legislative Budget Office. Most recently, I was a budget analyst with the City of Minnetonka, and prior to that, I worked at the City of Chicago and the Illinois Department of Transportation.
Thank you very much, Mr. Harney.
Madam Chair and members, my name is Catherine Ho. I'm the coordinator for the Legislative Budget Office. Prior to joining the LBO, I was a management analyst with the Department of Revenue. I was also the fiscal note lead for the tax operations division there.
Great. Wonderful. Sounds like we've brought some experience with us. Appreciate that very much. Okay, Ms. Weber, do you want to, which of the two will start off?
Madam Chair, Joe Harney will start with an overview of the work that is occurring with MMB.
Okay, Mr. Harney.
Madam Chair, members, my presentation this morning has two major components. I'm first going to provide a brief end-of-session summary related to the fiscal note tracking system statistics. I will then provide an overview of the current agreement governing the exchange of operational control over the fiscal note tracking system from MMB to LBO, effective September 1, 2019. So during the 2019 legislative session, 1,440 agency fiscal notes were completed, and 107 remain incomplete. Accounting for the additional LBO staff, Ms. Weber highlighted of 9 total analysts, and obviously had the LBO been in charge of processing these requests, each analyst of that 9 would have averaged around 172 note workload. In addition to the fiscal note workload, there were 2 local impact notes that were formally requested. The LBO looks forward to working with MMB to process the current outstanding work on those notes to make sure that we can submit them to the legislature effective September 1. Moving forward, in October 2018, MMB and the LBO entered into an agreement regarding the fiscal note tracking system and support provided by 2017 and 2018 session laws. As you know, this agreement was approved and executed by the Legislative Budget Office Oversight Commission at that time. Overall, the agreement set the expectations for the cooperative relationship between the LBO and MMB during the transition period and also defines what operational control really means. This agreement's effective through June 30th, 2020. So to that end, operational control, as defined by the October 2018 agreement, means decision-making authority and jurisdiction over the fiscal note tracking system and the fiscal note process. After September 1, the LBO's operational control will grant us the ability to do many things, such as obviously review, analyze, and sign off on fiscal notes, but it will also allow us the ability to grant new users access to the system, propose and implement system development and enhancements, and take over as the lead of the fiscal note tracking system user group, which is comprised of agency and nonpartisan staff stakeholders for the development of future system changes. Madam Chair, members, we are currently in the middle of the transition period to operational control right now. LBO staff are meeting regularly with MMB budget operations staff to develop and implement a cooperative transition plan and project charter to ensure the timely and efficient exchange of operational control September 1. The LBO and MMB staff have worked extensively on identifying many minor changes to the system that I think will impact the end user experience, but I would like to highlight 2 major system changes that we anticipate in fall 2019 updates. The first of which will be the LBO will assume the current executive budget officer system role, meaning LBO analysts in the system will control and be responsible for the review and final sign-off on notes as assigned. Furthermore, per the October 2018 agreement, there will be a new additional system role created that will grant executive budget officers access to the system, but only for completed and preliminary notes. Second, we are pursuing a system-wide enhancement that would create a mechanism through which bill language will be attached to the initial email notification when a fiscal note is requested and assigned. So we hope that this attachment will make sure everyone, at least initially, is working off of the same set of facts and the same bill language. Madam Chair, that concludes my testimony. If members don't have questions for me personally, I would gladly defer to Ms. Ho to talk about the user interface changes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Harney. I would rather have the second presenter so we have more of a full picture before questions, if that's okay. All right. Ms. Ho, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Today, I'll review the changes we propose to make to the Legislative Budget Office website as one of our steps to take operational control of the fiscal note process. Currently, the fiscal note tracking system, as well as completed fiscal notes and completed local impact notes, are housed and accessed through the internet on MMB's website. We will change the access to begin through the Legislative Budget Office website and will update the pages to use the Minnesota Legislature's style and format, clearly connecting the information to the Legislative Budget Office. We will retain the basic layout so that users do not experience undue hardship or inconvenience. We are working with the IT specialists from the Legislative Coordinating Commission to share information with MMB and all legislative offices that will need to update links and information on their websites so that the changes can happen efficiently. This slide shows some of the additional information. The link to view completed fiscal notes will be added, as well as a link to the fiscal note tracking system and the accompanying documentation we are working to revise. Although MMB will continue to maintain the fiscal note tracking system program, the look feel of that page will be updated to match the Legislative Budget Offices. Likewise, all the documentation we prepare, like our uniform standards and procedures, will follow the same format and style. Thank you for your time, Madam Chair and members. With that, I will stand for questions.
Thank you, Ms. Ho. With that, members, questions? Mr. Marks.
Thank you. And just for Mr. Harney, and I probably have this information, or I know I have this information somewhere, but the statistic on the 1,440 fiscal notes completed in 2019, do you know how that compares to 2017 or 2015?
Mr. Harney, Ms. Weber?
Madam Chair and Mr. Marks, I actually do have that number. So the 2015, it was 1,414. And then in 2017, it was 1,286. And I should qualify this. There are many ways to look at fiscal note data. There's fiscal notes on individual bills, if you are just counting the individual bill or amendment, or there are consolidated fiscal notes that are assigned to multiple agencies. The numbers that I just quoted reflect those consolidated notes being assigned to more than one agency.
So, Ms. Weber, does that mean for those consolidated ones, that a bill might count for two or three
notes? Madam Chair, that's correct, because there are two agencies who are producing an individual fiscal note that is reviewed and is provided to the legislature.
Okay, that's helpful to know. Mr. Marks, more question? Okay. Mr. Nauman.
Madam Chair and members, Mr. Harney, could you go back over that new enhancement that was being contemplated for the new system? You talked about how bill language would be loaded into the system. It's my understanding that happens now, so I'm curious what the difference is going to be.
Mr. Harney?
Madam Chair, Mr. Nauman, that would be on the notification that the system pushes out, that bill language would be attached to. Yes, but you're correct. It is required in the system when you request a note.
So, Madam Chair, Mr. Nauman, and Mr. Harney, as I think about it from a requesting perspective, or when I get a completed fiscal note back, will that mean that there's a link that links directly to the language that is directly being fiscal noted, or is it buried inside the fiscal note? I'm just trying to think about how that will appear in the future.
Thank you, Mr. Mr. Harney. An additional question to that for me is it going to be an attachment or a link to the actual bill language? Ms. Weber.
Madam Chair and Mr. Nauman, we are working with MMB on what that would look like. So the first aspect of it is when a fiscal note is requested, a fiscal analyst identifies the bill for which the fiscal note is being requested on, or if it's on amended language, they attach the amendment in the system. Then an email notification goes out to agencies who are assigned, and they would have to log into the system right now under current practice and see what the language is. The first improvement that's being planned for is to have that language directly available in that email, so it's more readily available to the end user who's preparing the fiscal note. The conclusion of a fiscal note and having the language attached, we haven't yet worked out the design on that, and we'll work with the fiscal note user group and MMB on what that might look like and what what ultimately does that produce in terms of a fiscal note?
Thank you, Ms. Weber. Mr. Nauman, do you have some preference, though? I mean, this is a time for us to give some feedback to that and saying, I know for me as a chief author, when we would get those fiscal notes, I would have to then go and find that bill, go look it up on the system, and all that lag in time and making sure that I have the same one that you're working on. So I think this is a great addition now. Whether it comes as a link, I'd almost really rather have it as an attached file, not as a link, because I'm not always at a place where I have sufficient access for a link to work. Mr. Nauman, do you have any input on that?
Madam Chair, I guess I'm agnostic on the question of link versus attachment. I think probably the modern era would probably argue for a link, but I think that's something for the commission itself to wrestle with it to determine whether it has an opinion about it with advice from the director. I guess what I would say is it is an improvement to current process. I think about the circumstances where amended language is being loaded up into the system, so it's not an introduced bill. Introduced bills are, of course, publicly available and can be easily found. It's the second, third amendment on a particular bill where it become when the fiscal note has become completed, where I think there it argues to Representative Neuer's point about transparency. I know that sometimes when a fiscal analyst in our office requests a fiscal note and I personally receive the notification, I have to dig for it in the system to get it. So whether it's having that link, I'll download the link in every instance. So personally, it's probably easier for me if it's an attachment because then I can save them all, which I do. But for the individual, it's probably easier just to have a link.
Thank you very much. Mr. Nobles.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think there was reference to the fact that, you know, we're adding another office, another group of nonpartisan staff to the legislature. And so I think my question relates to, again, some of the coordination that will go on. And let me frame it this way. And it really has to do with what will trigger your involvement and how do you imagine you saying, okay, now this is our role. If today or in a couple of weeks I were to come to you and say, you know, I'm just thinking about a bill for the next session that would maybe change the income eligibility standard for non-emergency medical transportation, just to pick something. Would you say, great, we'll work on that? Or would you say, well, you really need to work with the department and fiscal staff? We don't really, as the LBO, get engaged until you really have a bill that we can then reference.
Ms. Weber?
So, Madam Chair and Mr. Nobles, what we would do right now for sure is we would talk with that member about working with their fiscal analyst. That would be the starting point. The fiscal analyst and the nonpartisan research staff that work with the committees are there to help the member formulate an idea, craft legislation, and look at what that is. We would be available if there's anything we can be of assistance with to the nonpartisan staff, also in terms of connecting with the agency and so forth. As much as we can have a heads up that those types of things are being considered, that may be beneficial to us as we're later than being reviewing the end product of what an agency's put together for a fiscal note. But that is the current, for sure, the current practice we would have. Our focus does need to be on fiscal notes and making sure we're prepared to do that well. So we're being both cognizant of not overstepping boundaries in terms of current roles and responsibilities that are established within the office, as well as making sure that we're taking the necessary time to build some expertise within the office to be able to review and analyze fiscal notes well.
Thank you, Mr. Nobles. Thank you, Ms. Weber. And I also would say, members, that one of the things today is to take a look at two items here that are uniform standards and procedures. So once we get to that point, there will be those uniform standards and procedures that will guide the LBO staff and also will help us as far as clarifying this is what they do and this is what the other two, the caucus entity and the nonpartisan fiscal staff. We're also going to have to clarify members amongst their own. When we say fiscal staff, which fiscal staff are we referring to? So we're going to have to be sure we have the LBO fiscal staff named specifically as compared to others. Any other questions in regards to Mr. Harney or Ms. Ho at this time? Okay. With that, I think we'll go on to the next item on our agenda. Thank you, Ms. Ho, and thank you, Mr. Harney.
And Madam Chair, I'd like to invite up Alyssa Holterman and Maren Bardal to talk with you about efforts that are underway to engage stakeholder input into the uniform standards and procedures.
I think we'll do as we also did before and have each of them just give a brief introduction.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Alyssa Holterman. I'm an analyst with the Legislative Budget Office. Prior to this, I was at the Minnesota Department of Education in the School Nutrition Programs. And before that, I was finishing my MPP, my Master's in Public Policy at the Humphrey School of Public Affairs.
Thank you, Ms. Holterman. And Ms. Bardal.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members. Thanks for having me here. My name is Maren Bardal. I'm also an analyst with the Legislative Budget Office. I'm also a licensed attorney, most recently in private practice. Prior to private practice, I was a research analyst for the Legislative Commission on Data Practices.
Thank you very much. Welcome. Glad to have you here today. And so, Ms. Holterman, would you be starting off?
Okay. Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. Today I'll be presenting the design and results of a survey that we conducted with stakeholders in the process of developing our uniform standards and procedures. I'll go over the purpose and design of the survey, orient you to a document that contains all of the questions and results from the survey, and then explain what we intend to do with the results. The survey is one in a series of steps that our office is taking to develop our standards and procedures. While we maintain ownership of them under the Commission's approval, we want to make sure that the uniform standards and procedures are informed by stakeholders and those who develop and use fiscal notes in their work. Initially, the survey was sent to nonpartisan legislative fiscal staff, agency fiscal note coordinators and CFOs, and MMB budget division staff. Those are the results that I will be presenting today. The survey was also sent to committee administrators, partisan research staff, and the chairs of finance committees in both bodies yesterday, and that is due at the end of next week. With the exception of the first question, which asks about the respondents' role, the survey remained the exact same for both groups. In designing the survey, we had three priority areas that we knew we wanted to focus on. We knew that timeliness, communication, and the standardization of common costs were priorities for stakeholders based on early information gathering that Ms. Weber did, as well as an informal activity at our open house event in April. We designed the survey to ask about those three priority areas and dive deeper into the logistics of addressing those through our uniform standards and procedures. In your packets is a document that contains all of the questions from the survey and the results for each question. It's titled LBO Standards and Procedures Survey, May 2019. It should be noted again that these are the results only from the nonpartisan legislative fiscal staff, the agency staff, and the MMB staff that have thus far had an opportunity to respond. I'll be happy to share the results with you all from the second group to the partisan staff and committee chairs at a future time once we have those compiled. In the interest of time, I won't go through all of the questions one by one, but I am happy to answer specific questions if you have any that jump out to you right away or to follow up if anyone has questions after today. For some general information, we had 70 responses to the questions. You'll see in that results document that not all participants responded to all of the questions, and there were also a few select all that apply questions, so some of them have more than 70 responses. The document provided will give you a fairly good understanding of the overall feedback that we got from the survey. Emergent themes included that in some cases, the current practices work well, that the fiscal note process is complex and may suffer from the inclusion of too many formalized standards, and that the LBO should play a very active communication role throughout the entire process. The results of the survey were used to further narrow down the breadth of the questions that we plan to ask in upcoming focus groups, which Ms. Bardal will tell you more about in a moment. They're also being used to shape the changes to current policies that we plan to include in our uniform standards and procedures. That concludes my presentation. So now, Madam Chair, I believe Ms. Bardal will tell you about the focus groups.
Okay. The overview of the focus groups. Okay, Ms. Bartle.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Today I'll be presenting on a series of focus groups that the Legislative Budget Office will be conducting in June and July. The purpose of these focus groups is to gain feedback from stakeholders involved in the fiscal note process. Specifically, we hope to learn about the current fiscal note practices and procedures, the challenges associated with these practices and procedures, and recommendations for changes to the fiscal note process. Our goal is to use this information to inform the Legislative Budget Office uniform standards and procedures. In particular, the LBO hopes to gain recommendations on timeliness, communication, and common costs, which can be incorporated into our uniform standards and procedures. The Legislative Budget Office will be responsible for hosting and facilitating these focus groups. Our director, Michelle Weber, will be moderating each group, asking each of them 6 questions that focus on our themes of timeliness, communication, and common costs. Our analysts will then be responsible for note-taking and creating a summary report. We've identified and invited 6 groups to participate. They include agency CFOs, agency fiscal note coordinators, House and Senate fiscal analysts, House research, Senate analysts, and Senate counsel, the budget division of MMB, and committee administrators from finance committees. We plan to offer 2 sessions to each of the above focus groups if there is enough interest from a group. However, if there isn't enough interest, there may not be a need for the second session. We have planned for a total of 12 focus groups if there is enough interest. Focus groups will begin this afternoon and will conclude on July 30th. Throughout this process, the LBO analysts will be reviewing the responses from each group and incorporating them into our uniform standards and procedures. This ongoing process will allow us to meet our deadline of September 1st, 2019. As Ms. Holterman testified, the Budget Office conducted an informal poll in April at our open house, which was followed by a survey in May. These 2 items helped us identify 3 high-priority topics, which have helped us develop the questions and themes for the focus groups. Again, our themes are timeliness, communication, and common costs. In general, our questions are going to remain the same throughout each focus group, but may be slightly altered based on the group's role in the fiscal note process. For example, one of the questions on communication is, if the Legislative Budget Office were to coordinate the sharing of assumptions, what would be the possible impact? This question, like all of our questions, is a result of concerns with the fiscal note process that have been expressed to the LBO and confirmed by the survey. Although we recognize that sharing assumptions could adversely affect timeliness, based on the survey responses, we felt it necessary to further evaluate this option through a focus group discussion. We look forward to gaining more information on what the process of sharing assumptions would look like and how that would impact each other's work. A similar process was used to develop all of our focus group questions. In respect to the results of a focus group, we will be reviewing results on a weekly basis to identify themes, common responses, interesting ideas, recommendations, and possible solutions, among other things. At the end of July, the Legislative Budget Office will evaluate those results as a whole and will distribute a qualitative summary report of those results. It is our goal to present a draft of the Uniform Standards and Procedures to the Oversight Commission in late July or early August. We believe this timeline is necessary in order to get final approval and meet our deadline of September 1st, 2019. With that, I would conclude my testimony and would stand for any questions.
Thank you very much, Ms. Bardal. So members, Representative Carlson.
Yeah, you referenced the timeliness on more than one occasion in your testifying. The one area through the years that's created problems for us in terms of timeliness, when I say us, but I'm talking about the House Finance Committee, historically, or Ways and Means. I guess I have to flip that on. Yeah, I'm used to the House. The one area that's a problem is health and human services. That's a very complicated area. So how would you address the timeliness of an agency that has a very complicated budget? You know, there's federal, state, even county involvement to make sure that we get the information in a timely manner. Because we keep hearing that the state agency, when we get to crunch time, is working on putting that note together. Mm-hmm. And what can you do to to improve the timeliness of that? Or what recommendations might you make?
Ms. Weber.
Madam Chair and Representative Carlson, there are many factors that impact timeliness, as we've talked with agencies and fiscal analysts and other stakeholders. So one factor is how complicated is the legislation. Does the agency have experience implementing something of a similar nature, or is this something brand new that's going to take them a significant amount of time to actually develop the fiscal note? So if there are things that we can do on the front end in terms of giving the agency as much time as possible to produce a fiscal note, particularly for complicated measures. The other is just the quantity of fiscal notes that an agency might be dealing with. How might we be able to prioritize then? What bills are expected to move forward? What fiscal notes are needed and by what date? There are things that we're hoping to get a better understanding of and see if we can get a commitment from everyone who's involved in the process. And so that's why we also included committee administrators in our focus groups, to see if there is work that we can do in partnership between the committee administrators and the fiscal analysts to prepare in advance for what bills they're anticipating to hear, to help agencies plan for what fiscal notes they need to have available and when. So there are many factors to consider. Later this week, we're sitting down with DHS and talking with them as well. So we'll be working and having discussions with each of the agencies as well to see what ideas they might have that could influence the timeliness. This is a big expectation of the LBO that I am not confident that we are going to be able to change, because there are many factors that contribute to it, but we're going to make every effort possible to see if there are improvements that can be made to help with the timeliness of the information being provided.
And Madam Chair, I'm very aware of the complications, and when you talk about whether there are new issues, continuing issues, all of that becomes, especially with some of those major omnibus bills, and I don't mean to be picking on HHS specifically, because I fully recognize it's probably our most complicated area of state government when they start putting together the fiscal notes, because of all the moving parts and just the very nature of some of those programs, the changes that take place. But it is a problem, you know, in terms of we have deadlines to meet. And we work with the division chairs, who are trying to get their numbers together before that bill is presented to the full, in my case, Ways and Means Committee. But timeliness is the big issue, not necessarily the quality of the work. It's the getting those fiscal numbers put together in a timely way so we can move the bills out onto the House floor to meet constitutional deadlines. So, but thank you. I just want to make, or excuse me, I want to put that on your horizon when you talk about timeliness. Mm-hmm. It's just how you can improve that. And I'm not sure it's something you can do.
Thank you, Representative Carlson. I think when we get into the standards and procedures, this may be, and one of the things that we've had a discussion before is about assumptions, that sometimes incorrect assumptions slow down the fiscal note process. And we, as bill authors or chairs of committees, how can we work better to help be sure that the language is written clearly so that the assumptions at the start, because sometimes the assumptions cause a bit of an issue. But I would suspect, Ms. Weber, that we're going to have more conversations through standards and procedures in regards to this issue. Would that be correct?
Madam Chair, yes, that's absolutely correct. That's one of the, as Ms. Bardal mentioned, one of the focuses of the discussions we're having in those focus groups is to get ideas for what are the things we should have reflected in the standards and procedures that might help us to provide more timely information. And
Representative Carlson.
Madam Chair, the reason I brought it up now is that in the testifying, timeliness was referenced, and that's why I raised the question at this point in time.
Rightly so, Representative Carlson. It is, as you can tell, it's a big issue. We appreciate your bringing it up. Senator Wicklund.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just had a question about the process and the timeline. It looks like your meeting with groups, your focus groups, are kind of occurring simultaneously when you're developing this first draft that you'll be getting to us to review in early August. Are you going to come back with that with some areas that you feel are, I don't know, going to be yet to be determined based on, you know, you won't have feedback from all the groups yet? Or can you talk about kind of how you're going to work through creating a draft and doing the groups? And, you know, I know you need to converge on September 1st with everything completed, so it's a challenging timeline.
Ms. Weber?
Madam Chair and Senator Wicklund, one of the benefits that we have is we have a strong foundation to build from. Minnesota Management and Budget has a policies and procedures manual that we're using as the starting point for the uniform standards and procedures. We're then looking at, are there any changes as a result of the Legislative Budget Office or the feedback that we got through the survey or the focus groups? Are there new things that we might need to consider in addition to what current policy states? We'll also be looking at incremental change for this September 1st, recognizing that there may be things in the future that we come back and ask the Oversight Commission to consider in terms of the standards and procedures for the following year, for example. So as we're doing this, it is a bit of a, we converged on a tight timeline, recognizing that the stakeholders we needed input with, from were heavily engaged in the legislative process, and so their availability was very limited. And so we are going to try and truly take the feedback we're getting through the focus groups, report common themes to all of you, and how we used that information to inform the standards and procedures.
Senator Wicklund? Okay. Thank you very much. With Representative Noor.
Madam Chair, Ms. Weber, the other question that I have is you'll be meeting with the local units of governments in October. They play a major role when it comes to implementation, not only in the health and human service, but various programs. I see you'll be meeting with them late in October. Is there any process that you can include them beforehand so they can provide you their feedback? They've come to me several times saying that they're not included in the process. They have to make a request at the last minute and creates a lot of headaches. So do you have a timeline in terms of even including them in the focus groups that you're doing right now so you can get their input into the process? Thank you.
Ms. Weber, and you might start by, in the fiscal note tracking system and local impact notes, that distinction.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Noor. Yes, we are planning to engage with local units of government, particularly when it comes to local impact notes, of which there is less volume, but they tend to be significantly more complicated to complete and get information and input from the local units of government. We're going to be meeting with MMB later this month, I believe, to get an overview of their process and the efforts that they've undertaken related to local impact notes, and we absolutely can move that up so that we have at least an initial discussion with the local units of government to inform anything that might occur as of September 1st. Also, if there is additional information that we learn throughout the course of the fall that would be impactful, I am not opposed to bringing back to all of you for consideration additional standards or procedures related to local government input into the local impact note process as well.
Thank you. Ms. Weber? Ms. Raytan?
Representative
Noor, that answered your question, correct? For now, yes, I understand. Ms. Raytan.
Madam Chair, I just want to highlight on the local government piece. There also is a section on the fiscal note where an agency can speak to local government costs. And when we revised our policies and procedures at MMB a few years back, we emphasized that agencies should speak to those local costs in the fiscal note as well. So it's not just the local impact note that can convey that information. And we have tried to encourage agencies to more completely answer when there is a local impact to legislation within the fiscal note itself as well.
Thank you very much, Ms. Raytan. I think that was very helpful to the conversation. Thank you. Mr. Nobles?
Madam Chair, I guess it would you talked about assumptions, Ms. Bartol. And I think that's going to be a constant theme. So I guess my question is, you talk about sharing maybe assumptions earlier is one of the issues that you're talking about. Could you talk a little more about sharing whose assumptions are you sharing with whom? And let me just give you a little scenario. Take my non-emergency medical transportation. A legislator comes, has kind of a concept of like to cover more people by lowering the income threshold. It goes through some analysis at DHS. They've got a pool of data that they think, well, there are these people, this population now will be included, so it'll cost X. You do some analysis, and let's say you have a little bit different assumption. Maybe you have different data. Whose assumptions are you sharing then? The department's, yours, both? Could you talk a little bit more about that sharing, and with whom? Just the author, with other legislators?
Ms. Weber.
Madam Chair and Representative, or Mr. Nobles, I'll take that question if that's okay.
Sure.
One of the key highlights has been that for the most complicated fiscal notes, or the fiscal notes that maybe cause the most controversy, there are differing interpretations of the language between what the bill author believes the bill is doing and what an agency may be when they're looking at it from an implementation standpoint, what they're identifying in terms of how the bill would work. And that can sometimes first be uncovered as the agency is developing the assumptions associated with that. So we wouldn't be developing separate assumptions within the LBO. We would still be looking at the agency who has the expertise to develop the assumptions. We would be reviewing those assumptions for reasonableness, objectivity, whether or not there are other factors that should be considered. We also would be looking for that as an early indication that what the bill author's understanding of the interpretation of the language is and what the agency's understanding of the interpretation of languages is vastly different. And so we want to have the opportunity to make a connection and have a conversation between the agency and the bill author to see what might need to be changed about the bill, what questions the agency might have in order to be able to complete the fiscal note. That process is valuable and important. That process also takes time. So we have to have a willingness to be able to take more time so that we can engage in that type of dialogue and maybe process amendments to the bill and so forth to get to that point. So we're not exactly sure how this might work, but this is one idea that was brought forward, is that the sharing of assumptions could help to uncover when there are different interpretations between a bill author and an agency.
Mr. Nobles.
If I could just follow up, does this differ at all from the MMB process now? I mean, does MMB simply convey the department's assumptions, or do you sometimes convey to the author other assumptions based on your analysis?
Ms. Raytan.
Mr. Nobles, when MMB approves a fiscal note, we are approving that MMB is in agreement with the assumptions included in the note. Or that the assumptions are reasonable assumptions, given the language of the bill. Sometimes there are varying ways to interpret a bill, and so the reasonableness test that we're using doesn't mean that that's the only assumption that is valid. And so that's sometimes what we encounter, is that there is a reasonable assumption laid out by the agency in that they are interpreting the language of the bill, and then it comes back that that is not consistent with the author's assumption. But we don't currently have a procedure for testing those assumptions in advance of publication of the note with the author. And I think that's the procedure that Ms. Weber is suggesting.
Madam Chair, if I might just ask one other follow-up question, and that is, given the change that we're talking about with a new LBO, do you envision MMB still being engaged in a question like that? With, for example, the Department of Human Services, will they be in communication with you about what they are going to be communicating to LBO, and you're going to say, well, we think that's reasonable or not? What will your role be in that kind of a scenario?
Ms. Raytan.
Madam Chair and Mr. Nobles, we will still be engaged. Our expectation will be that budget officers are still reviewing each note, each draft note from the agency. We won't have a formal sign-off in the system, but executive budget officers, as was shown when they were talking through the system earlier, will still have access to the preliminary notes. And so I fully expect that our staff will be engaging in that conversation about the reasonableness of assumptions.
Thank you, Mr. Nobles and Ms. Ray-Tan. I would say, having been a chief author, this is a big issue and is often where we as chief authors find out only at the last minute, often just before a committee hearing, that what we thought our bill language, what we intended and what we meant for the language to convey was understood differently. And we don't question the fact that that could be a different understanding, but it is not what the bill author was writing the bill to do. And the big thing is to get a fiscal note back to do what the bill author wrote the bill they thought for. And so to earlier be able to have that same understanding so that when the fiscal note comes back, it is more true to what the author was working hard to get the bill language to line up with. And I think that happening, because it usually happens sometimes afterwards or sometimes it's scheduled for a bill hearing, then it has to be pulled from the agenda because of that. That often can be a critical juncture, and at that particular time, that if it happens more up front, also the concept is to understand that it saves agencies time instead of going through all this work creating the fiscal note only to find out that that was not what the bill author was intending for the language to do. And I think it's going to also involve us here in the legislature through this process now of having the LBO, that we as committee chairs or as bill authors will need to think carefully about how might this be interpreted by an agency and kind of think about that, whereas now we tend to go through the revisor's office or the nonpartisan office and aren't always as understanding of what those other kinds of interpretations might be. I think we're going to have to be a little bit more engaged as bill authors up front to help make sure that our language is written in such a way that we remove as much misunderstanding or time cost later on in the developing of the actual fiscal note. Which I think is going to be one of the advantages of the LBO office and its closer alignment with the legislative process, hopefully. Mr. Nauman and then Representative Carlson.
Madam Chair, I'm happy to go first, but I think Director Ray-Tan was on point on that. I was going
Ms.
to go
Ray-Tan,
a slightly
okay.
different direction.
Well, we want to keep the thread of communication, so that's important. Thank you.
Madam Chair, thank you. I did want to highlight, even though we don't have a formal systemized process for submitting assumptions first and then completing the note, we do encourage in our policies and procedures where if there is lack of clarity of what the intent of the bill is or where the assumptions will really drive the cost, the assumptions that are made, we ask that agencies reach out to the author, and oftentimes the budget officers are reaching out to fiscal staff to make sure that the assumptions are reasonable in the eyes of fiscal staff as well, who has more direct contact with the author. So there are policies and procedures written to deal with this issue. We just don't have a formalized checkoff of the assumptions before the completion of the note.
Thank you, Ms. Ray-Tan. Mr. Nauman.
So, Madam Chair, with your permission, I'd like to maybe dovetail a little bit off of where Mr. Nobles was going, and I think this is probably a question more for Ms. Ray-Tan than the commission itself. And I'd just like to maybe take us a little bit of history first. The way a fiscal note is currently prepared in Chapter 3.98 that requires the preparation of a fiscal note places that burden on agencies, and that's basically the same under current law. I'm curious, in the new environment, when the LBO begins taking primary responsibility for delivering the fiscal note, whether and what happens is fiscal analysts typically enter the request for a fiscal note. When the agency completes their initial work, it goes into the system, and that's the point at which fiscal staff and executive budget officers can see what's in the system, and it's it's a good informal check. We can then look at assumptions at that point, and I think that's where my brain's going with respect to this, is if we see something that looks unusual or maybe doesn't meet a smell test, that's when fiscal staff and executive budget officers typically engage with the agencies in a conversation about assumptions. I am curious, and this is where my question is going, whether the agency, MMB, is contemplating using its sort of umbrella role over the budget of imposing some sort of limits on when the system will, when agencies can put into the system the results of their work, basically the fruits of their labor. Where I'm going is, it would be somewhat concerning if an agency in its act of preparing a fiscal note is unable to put the information in and before it receives a de facto blessing from MMB. That would lengthen the process. And I'm curious if that is being contemplated, or if more or less the same process where an agency can put the information in and then has back and forth with MMB as well as fiscal staff.
Ms. Raytan, do you want to respond to that?
Madam Chair and Mr. Nauman, at this point in time, that is not something we're contemplating. There isn't a role within the system for MMB to review it before it gets submitted for LBO review. And I think without a system to do that, that would be a very cumbersome process. I fully expect that when there are complicated fiscal notes and fiscal notes that are going to require making assumptions that are not completely clear from the note, or where it's a very new program or something that is less standard, that they will be engaging with MMB as they write the note, and will encourage that. That they're not kind of, an agency isn't coming up with kind of heroic assumptions or something that wouldn't pass an MMB smell test off on their own. So I think MMB will still be very much engaged, will be dialoguing with agencies. EBOs are, executive budget officers are assigned to agencies, and they are typically having conversations about fiscal notes long before that fiscal note shows up as a preliminary note in the system, and I think that will continue. But we wouldn't want to have a system in place where every note needs to go through an MMB review before it goes to for an LBO review, because to your point, that would very much slow down timeliness.
Thank you, Ms. Raytan. Mr. Nauman?
Okay. Madam Chair, Ms. Raytan, that makes me much more comfortable than my fears were landing myself. I feel it's an important part of the process that EBOs, the timeliness is really what we're trying to improve here, and something that results in something different would be not what we would desire.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nauman. And I would say, too, I just wanted to just wrap up a little bit on some of those assumption things. It's always been amazing to me that it seemed so clear once I had an explanation of why they thought the bill I wrote came to this assumption, and I said, wow, I wouldn't even have thought of that. The interesting thing is, though, they said the same thing. Is this the only way to interpret it? And when they hear my interpretation, they say, well, they're both valid. So I just wanted to be clear that I don't ever question that. They thought they did understand. If they didn't, they would ask me. The real challenge is when they think they understand, and then we have that issue coming forward. I think with that, members, we've had a... Representative Carlson,
sure. We had to say, I thought it was probably a follow-up. Mm-hmm. But you made a point. Here we go again. You made a point about the revisor's office, and something I hadn't really thought of, and I'm not sure to even who to pose the question to, and maybe it'll be just a comment. But is there a role when we're dealing with assumptions for the revisor's office? And the reason I raise that question, if I have an idea for a piece of legislation, I may either email, have a telephone conversation, or an in-person conversation with the revisor's office to draft the language. Once they're done, they send me a draft. I go over that, and I'll say that's just fine, or there's something that they picked up on that I wasn't aware of, and we'll have a little back and forth. but they're very much involved with whatever the assumptions of the author may have been, and some of that, theoretically at least, has been worked out in advance. So maybe my question is of Ms. Weber, and if you want to punt on it, that's fine, but is there a role when we're dealing with assumptions for a conversation by the people putting the fiscal notes together or the departments in having a conversation with the revisor's office, because they were the people that were literally on the front line in the drafting of the legislation and putting those words together?
Mm-hmm. I don't know, Ms. Weber, is the revisor's office currently engaged in any part of the fiscal note tracking survey or focus groups?
So, Madam Chair and Representative Carlson, they are not. However, they were identified as a training opportunity for the staff within the Legislative Budget Office. They provide a training on drafting clear legislation, and so we had identified that as a good thing for us to have an awareness of that, so then when we're getting a fiscal note request, we can do that first review of the language and see if it's been drafted. An idea did come up in an internal discussion we had within the office that we hadn't previously thought about the revisors as a contributor to this process, but that might be something that we look to explore. That idea just came up yesterday in the office.
Madam Chair, I'll just
Representative Carlson,
at
yes.
this point, other than pointing out when we're talking about assumptions, they're the ones that have been working on whatever the assumptions were of the author and trying to clarify that language, and I would think that they would be a resource if there were some questions about what the assumptions might be to include them, because they might be able to offer some clarifying language to the author or to the people that are putting the fiscal notes together, however that information would be provided. But thank you.
Thank you, Representative Carlson. I think you brought up a very good point, and the fact, Ms. Weber, that your staff talked about it just yesterday, I think, is an indication then that they need to be included in the go-forward in the future and give them that opportunity. And I would concur with what Representative Carlson is saying, is many times the conversation about some of those assumptions which stimulate a bill, and then we hope to put it into language, I would say that is a very good source. All right. Okay, with that, members, we're on our next agenda item. And I would encourage you, members, if you take a look at the this is just phase one of the survey questions and the results, but I read through them and took my time to just kind of think about it myself and circled what I might have thought, you know, but Representative Carlson, you'll be getting a survey as well, so you and I will both have that opportunity here in the future that I think will be helpful, but I think for any members, just to read through those surveys and the questions and the answers itemized there specifically, I think they are very, very helpful. With that, members, we'll move on to the last item on our agenda today, and that is to review and discuss. And these are two sides of a single piece of paper here, members. I think you all have that. One is the request for fiscal note revision, and the other is response to an overdue fiscal note. And we'll just take maybe the fiscal note revision here first and foremost. And members, this is an exercise less than this is a final product that we're thinking. This is a template, an idea, something that Ms. Weber can explain how you came to this style and this format, which I think you alluded to before. But then this is an exercise in working it through with us, very important for us to give her feedback. So that when we go into many, many more of these, that at the beginning, at its inception, we can gather the commission's feedback. So with that, Ms. Weber, if you want to proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Yes, as we've been looking at the development of the uniform standards and procedures, as I previously mentioned, our starting point is what's currently referred to as the MMB policies around fiscal notes. We've also been taking the information, discussions that happened during the transition task force, oversight commission meetings, individual meetings that I had with various stakeholders, the survey results, and we'll take the focus group information into consideration. The format that you have before you, because of the statutory mandatory reference to uniform standards and procedures, we thought we would outline the document in that manner. So we would first state what is the standard and then talk through what's the procedure that will be followed then to apply to that standard. I'm pleased to welcome Steve McDaniel, another LBO analyst, to the testifying table, and he is prepared to walk through the fiscal note revision draft standard and procedure with all of you.
Thank you, Ms. Weber. Mr. McDaniel, if you would just first introduce yourself, a little bit of your background like the others did.
Yep. Madam Chair and members, my name is Steve McDaniel, and I'm an analyst with the Legislative Budget Office. Prior to joining the LBO, I worked for a nonprofit called MAC, and MAC stands for Metropolitan Alliance of Connected Communities, and they work with other nonprofits in health and human services. Prior to that, I also worked for the State Auditor's Office for the City of Bloomington and the City of Minneapolis in different audit capacities as well.
Thank you very much, Mr. McDaniel. You can go ahead on your presentation.
Madam Chair and members, I will be discussing the draft standard and procedure regarding fiscal note revision. I will provide you with some context on the development of this standard and procedure and an overview of the standard and procedure. The goal of fiscal notes is to get the most accurate estimate of the fiscal effect of proposed legislation. Fiscal note revisions can occur because, as has been noted in previous Oversight Commission meetings, the fiscal note process is a human process. Mistakes and errors can happen, and we have to be able to look at new information, which could lead to revising a fiscal note after it has already been distributed to the legislature. Additionally, some oversight may have occurred or an incorrect assumption might have been used. Fiscal notes may also be revised after a forecast has been issued for any forecasted program. I'll now walk you through the fiscal note revision draft standard and procedure that should be included in your packet. The draft standard for fiscal note revisions is that a LBO-approved fiscal note must comply with fiscal note standards and procedures, reflecting a reasonable and objective estimate of the fiscal effect of proposed legislation. The LBO will reconsider and work with an agency to revise a fiscal note if new information is available that would provide for a more accurate fiscal note. The draft procedure for fiscal note revisions begins with a request for a revision of a fiscal note. The following may make a request for revision of a fiscal note: the chair of the standing committee to which the bill has been referred, the bill author, a fiscal analyst, the agency. In addition, the LBO may also identify the need to revise a fiscal note. Sufficient details must be included to explain why the fiscal note should be considered for revision. The request for revision will be reviewed by the LBO to determine whether or not the request is based on new information or will result in a more accurate fiscal note. The LBO may consult with the requester, fiscal analysts, the agency, and others deemed relevant to determine whether or not a fiscal note should be revised. The LBO will not authorize the revision of a fiscal note if the LBO determines that the original fiscal note is accurate and as reasonable as possible. If the LBO determines that a fiscal note should be revised, the LBO will inform the agency and put the note in a status of revision in the fiscal note tracking system. The revised fiscal note will include an explanation detailing the revision, and the revised fiscal note will be subject to the same review and approval requirement of the original fiscal note. The revised fiscal note will be posted to the LBO website within 24 hours of completion. A copy of the original fiscal note, including an indication that the fiscal note has been revised, will also be retained. Madam Chair and members, this concludes my presentation on fiscal note revision draft standard and procedures. Thank you for your time, and I now stand to answer any questions that the members may have.
Thank you, Mr. McDaniel. So, members, comments or questions? I don't have any either, but Representative Vogel.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the presentation. We talked a lot about the accuracy of the fiscal notes, and I think that one of the things that we had mentioned and was mentioned before was the analysis of fiscal notes that had been done in the past to look at actually how they turned out. And I've been a big advocate of that because I've been around it long enough to know that a projection never comes true. It's a projection, and we tend to think that once we get it, it's over. And I just wanted to confirm that through this process as well, and not directly related to this this document on the revisions, but that the information that we would gain from that postmortem on a fiscal note would be somehow utilized not only in just looking at how they turned out, but in looking at how we're developing the system, the process, so that it's documented and we're using the information that we've gained by going back and looking at actually what did happen compared to what we thought was going to happen, and bringing that into the process fully.
Okay, is that a comment then, Representative Vogel, or did you have a question too?
The question is how we're going to bring in that review into the ongoing process. In other words, we're going to look at reviewing in the off time or whatever it is.
Oh, you're talking about notes. Not this particular.
Not this, but okay. Before we left this, I just wanted to clarify that we're still going to be doing that because it fits with this as well as some of the other things we're talking about, and making sure that we're, as we do that review of things that have happened in the past to see where they were either accurate or might have got off track, that we're bringing it into the system so that we can utilize it going forward, especially maybe it's relative to revisions or not.
Thank you, Representative Vogel. This is a little bit broader question than specific to this particular one, but I would just call your attention to number 8 on the work plan, which they are doing with the surveys, with the focus groups, and then also the case studies. So, Ms. Weber, might you comment to those three and to... but before I go to that broader question, were there any other comments on the fiscal note revision that we have here right now? Okay. Seeing none, then we'll go ahead. So, Ms. Weber, could you respond to Representative Vogel's question about that has to do with that case studies and the process you're going through?
Madam Chair and Representative Vogel, the case studies that we're engaging in over this summer is really looking at fiscal notes from the last session that fiscal analysts, executive budget officers, agencies helped us to identify that would be useful learning opportunities for the staff going into the next session. One of our ongoing activities after we have a solid foundation and have some experience with fiscal notes will be that activity that you referred to, Representative Vogel, of looking at after implementation and after a couple of years has passed, how accurate was the fiscal note? Is there anything that we can learn? Some of the complication to that might be, was the language as implemented the same as what the fiscal note was done on? So there are different factors we'll have to consider, but that's definitely one of the activities that we want to engage in to help on an ongoing basis improve the accuracy of fiscal notes.
Representative Vogel?
Okay.
Thank you. Do you have the second draft here as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Madam Chair and members, I will now walk through the response to overdue fiscal notes. As we've talked about quite extensively today, it's come up a couple times that one of the goals of the Legislative Budget Office is to see whether or not there are any efforts that we can undertake to improve the timeliness of fiscal notes. And also taking into consideration improving the timeliness of fiscal note and the value that we place on the agency expertise in the completion of the fiscal note, the standard will first be that every effort will be made by the LBO and the agencies to complete fiscal notes under the timeline that's been indicated in the request. The LBO will be regularly monitoring fiscal notes and the due dates of fiscal notes and working with agencies on any fiscal notes that may be overdue. The first step that we will take is to engage in a dialogue with the agency to help us understand what's contributing to the fiscal note being delayed. There could be certain factors that are outside the agency's control. Maybe the language isn't clear and they have questions that they need answered in order to develop the assumptions for the fiscal note. The language may also have been amended and is no longer current, or it could be a very complicated piece of legislation that the agency hasn't had previous experience implementing. In those cases, we will see what technical assistance we might be available to provide to the agency and how we can help to move the fiscal note forward so that it can get completed. We'll also be talking with the fiscal analysts about what factors are contributing to the delay in the fiscal note being completed. And the fiscal analyst may be able to ascertain whether or not the fiscal note is still needed, if the fiscal note due date could be extended, if there's other work that should be undertaken so that we can ensure that a fiscal note gets completed and is available. While we don't expect this to happen and hope that it doesn't, I want to recognize that there may be cases where an agency may not be cooperating or just may not be making a good faith effort to complete the fiscal note. If that is the case, then what the procedure that's outlined here does is it allows for the fiscal analyst, committee chair, and author to determine whether or not they want to ask of the LBO for the LBO to consider whether or not we have the ability to provide a number for the fiscal effect of the proposed legislation. We recognize that we will have limited expertise. As I mentioned, that we really value the expertise, the information that's provided for the agencies, the legislative changes that happened during the 2018 legislative session associated with the office were important to the success of the office. So we will do that analysis quickly to determine whether or not we have the capacity to do that. That capacity could be limited by expertise, it could be limited by available data, or it could be limited by the quantity of fiscal notes that we are analyzing and so forth. If we're not able to provide an estimate of the effect of the legislation, we will let the fiscal analyst know. If we do believe that we do have that capacity, we would contact the agency to let them know that a request has been made for the LBO to provide that information. And then an LBO analyst would be assigned to provide an analysis of the effect. A different LBO analyst would review that information that was put together, and then the information would be provided clearly indicating that this fell outside the normal practices of a fiscal note being prepared by a agency and reviewed and approved by the LBO, but that the fiscal effect is being estimated by the LBO. So as I mentioned, while we hope that this doesn't happen, one of the things that I feel tasked with is understanding and being transparent about what process will we engage in if it does happen. And so I'm very interested in the Oversight Commission's thoughts on this, discussion on it, and reaction to this, because this is a different practice that's being presented here.
So Ms. Weber, is this from has any other state done this? Is this something that's unique to Minnesota that we're just thinking of here?
Madam Chair and members, there are other states that have a legislative budget office or an office of a similar nature for which members could request of that office for them to prepare the fiscal analysis or a fiscal note on the legislation. I've talked with one state in particular that said it's not exercised very often. Members don't ask for it frequently, but the fact that it exists, it does add to the integrity of the information that is provided with the fiscal notes that are provided by the agency. So it does help to mitigate some of the concerns with timeliness and so forth. But it's not used often, but some states do have practices like this.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Weber. So I'd be glad to have members. Ms. Raytan?
Madam Chair, MMB does not currently have a process for MMB to produce a fiscal note. And that's very purposeful. We produce the fiscal notes or approve the fiscal notes in partnership with agencies. So when a note is overdue, I would say from my 13 years of experience, it is not. I have not seen agencies not acting in good faith. I have seen agencies with too many fiscal notes, with confusion about the language, sometimes somewhat paralyzed by something totally new that they don't know how to estimate or what to assume. And we work in partnership with them to help them complete the note, but it's always in partnership with the agency. So I would just express concern with this approach.
Thank you, Ms. Raytan. I think Ms. Weber, this is kind of a challenging topic for us to look at for standards and procedures. This is the one that you would not want to. But I also want to say, members, there's no approval today. It's a discussion of format. and also to have a discussion about an issue with some draft language in front of you rather than kind of a blank discussion, but it is by no means does it imply it's a discussion point. Mr. Nauman?
So, Madam Chair, I'll just bring up a couple of items for food for thought here. And in fairness, I've had this conversation with Mr. Marks and Ms. Weber before, so I don't think this will be unfamiliar to them. When the law changes of 2016 were enacted, the authority to prepare fiscal notes was originally provided to the Legislative Budget Office, and then in 2017, and then in 2018, there were amendments to those laws, and at that time, the legislature amended 3.98 to read as follows: the head or chief administrative officer of each department or agency of the state government, including the Supreme Court, shall prepare a fiscal note consistent with the standards and procedures adopted under 3.8853. Essentially, that returned the authority back to the agencies when it was originally amended to be that the LBO was the preparer. And I think there was good reason for that thinking. Ms. Raitan has spoken to that. I think it's a question for this commission to decide whether or not it believes there is legal authority in that statute to allow a circumstance where if an agency, good, bad, or indifferent, for whatever reason, is choosing or simply unable to prepare a fiscal note. I don't even want to speak to the good faith mm-hmm. concept, but the notion of if a fiscal note isn't being prepared in a timely manner, does the commission believe that authority in the statutes exists for the Legislative Budget Office to take on that authority based on what's in law right now? I then think there's a second level analysis that should be wrestled with. If you answer affirmatively to that first part as a commission, how there in questions 5 and 6, there are various breakpoints that are being proposed as part of the policy here. Should the LBO inform the fiscal analyst of its ability to do so? And then I think, based on the testimony, there was some conversation about that the fiscal analyst will essentially say, yes, please prepare a fiscal note. I'm not sure that I feel like I have the authority in statute to convey to the LBO, yes, I want you to prepare a fiscal note based on what exists in law. So I think maybe there are some customs and practices that we have evolved to as part of the operations of preparing fiscal notes that may not be completely referenced in the law. I think if we embark on a process whereby we want the LBO to make a judgment about a circumstance where an agency hasn't prepared a fiscal note, that we may want to also think about whether the law actually reflects what we intend and want it to, and want the LBO to do.
Thank you, Mr. Nauman. Other discussion members? Representative Vogel?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Madam Chair. To the point, one of the things that was most critical from my perspective with the LBO was the same responsibility back to the legislature as the OLA or other agencies or other bodies that we have that are doing work for us. I don't like to suggest that this is going to happen, and maybe the language needs to be tweaked a little bit, but from a separation of powers thing, and having been here not that long, but having been here long enough to see that sometimes there is some back and forth, whether it's this document or another document that is tweaked from this, I think it behooves us to address it in advance and have some procedures there. Whether this is the ideal thing or not, I'm not sure, but we are moving away from a time and place where MMB was doing the fiscal notes to an independent agency that is doing them on our behalf at our direction. And I think it would be good to address this because it's always easier to have a rational discussion before something like this might happen than if indeed it does happen and then try to figure out where do you go from there. So I would advocate for something, if it isn't this, but at least something that's consistent with the statute but still documents us going ahead and doing it in a rational way before anything would come up. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Representative Vogel. I would say that Mr. Nauman's question as far as does the LBO have the authority to do it is a very important discussion and analysis of that. So I would actually like to ask that maybe we involve our legislative general counselors or something like that, that we just take a look at, because before putting a policy or procedure in place, I'd want to know, first of all, do we have the authority to even do such a thing? And I think the other thing is it just brings up the question about what if things are not timely? What authority does the LBO have? Because when you had MMB and you have an executive branch agency to other executive agencies, right? So now you have a legislative budget office situation. So if not this, what is the power that the LBO has on behalf of the legislature in regards to timeliness of those? And if that is being put in question, what can they do? And I think those two things together are really important. And so maybe Mr. Nauman and Mr. Marks, you could work with our general counsels to answer the two questions. One, authority, first of all, to even do so. And then secondly, what are some options that we might take a look at that they might be able to have going forward? With that, I'll recognize Mr. Nobles for comment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to this question of authority, it seems to me there's a question before you get to the question of whether or not the LBO has authority to produce a fiscal note, and that would be, does it have the authority to compel the agency to provide it with the data it would need to establish a fiscal note? And the reference to the Office of Legislative Auditor, the legislature has, in fact, made that very clear in statute, and we do use that very frequently, that agencies have to provide us, under the law, with all data that we need to do our work. It's quite clear in the law, and even beyond that, I don't know that this would be necessary here, but at least just to put on the table, when we don't get cooperation in a timely way, we can issue a subpoena. So it seems to me that if you're trying to produce a fiscal note, and if there's consensus that, yes, they ought to be able to do that, I mean, you have to join that with the authority to get the data from the agency in a timely way.
Thank you, Mr. Nobles. Mr. Marks.
Madam Chair, and remember, just kind of along those lines, we had a situation a few years ago where, and this wasn't MMB's fault, but where the agency was just not cooperating, and I think MMB was very frustrated too. But that would have been one of the issues, is that I don't think MMB could have produced the fiscal note without information from the agency. Mm-hmm. And this is very isolated. This doesn't happen. I can recall this one circumstance fairly vividly because we were very much involved in it. But the issue is one that I think needs to be dealt with or resolved, because that frustration will come up if there's a situation where the agency isn't cooperating for whatever reason. How do legislators expect the LBO to respond to that? And what can the LBO do? And what authority does the LBO have to either try to get the information or to produce a fiscal note, or do they throw up their hands and say, we can't do anything here? And in that previous situation, we ended up with MMB working extensively with the agency. And when the fiscal note did come, I don't recall the exact situation. I don't think MMB was very pleased with it. And in the House, we were not pleased with it. And We had a request for fiscal analysts to do fairly extensive work on it and critique it, and it was a very awkward situation that we weren't very happy to be in, but we had to deal with it at that point in time.
Thank you, Mr. Marks. I think those kind of life lessons do impact us. And I would say that this is definitely a situation we're having that conversation, but I think this is something that our general counsels need to be engaged and be involved with you, Ms. Weber. And if you can follow that up, and then we could maybe have a report at our next commission meeting, put that on the agenda. One of the things that I think is most difficult, I think that Ms. Weber is somewhat addressing, is to have responsibility. You need authority. And so if we're going to, and since the LBO does have that responsibility to do that, there needs to be some ability and authority, because I can imagine how frustrating it would be to have all the responsibility but not have sufficient authority to get your job done. And I think that's what we're kind of dealing with. And this is kind of the difference where when it was all within the executive branch and now we have this situation, it is something to think about. Representative Carlson, did you want to make a comment or add anything to that? I just want to be sure I didn't overlook you.
I was listening carefully. It kind of goes back to the question that I posed about Health and Human Services earlier. You know, what do you do if the information just isn't available or provided for whatever reasons? And we were provided with an answer that there can be very complex and a variety of reasons why it's not done. I wasn't necessarily thinking of what Mr. Marks was referring to, where an agency just refuses. Listening to the discussion, I do recall having a conversation with the Commissioner of Health and Human Services about the need to provide more staffing, at least during the legislative session, to work on fiscal notes. Mm-hmm. That was kind of an off-the-cuff solution that I had because they just felt they were overwhelmed. And I remember I said, well, you've got more employees than I think virtually any other agency. Can't you temporarily assign some with a fiscal background that could help relieve some of the pressure? To my knowledge, that never happened, but then we had a change of administrations, which sometimes happens. But it does go to the core of what you do, even under the best of circumstances, was the way I was framing it. Mm-hmm. That's why I said I didn't want to beat on it. HHS, it was just that that was the agency that we were talking about timeliness created the biggest dilemma for me as a fiscal chair trying to get bills ready to get out onto the House floor and ultimately pass so that we would meet our constitutional deadline requirements. So that's about all I would have to offer. I wasn't thinking of that worst case scenario. I'm going to be curious to talk to Mr. Marks as to which agency or director or whatever that may have been. I don't recall. I must not have been involved with that one.
It goes to
thank you for asking.
You're welcome, Representative Carl. I would say it goes to show the benefit of the membership that we have on this Oversight Commission and how valuable it is to have it, because it all contributes to that, and we appreciate that very much. Members, with that, for the most part, this has concluded our business for today. And I know members have other things they need to do. So stay tuned, though. But by the way, with the addition of Representative Neuer, we do have a quorum. And so, Representative Carlson, if you don't mind my asking you to move the minutes.
I will move the minutes.
Minutes being moved. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails, and the minutes are adopted. Thank you very much. And members, be sure to turn in your forms before you leave today. It really helps expedite our staff work. I appreciate that very, very much. And having concluded our business today, members, Mr. Representative Carlson.
You did have one item there, future meetings.
Yes.
I don't know if you wanted to.
Thank you, Representative.
That or just delegate that to the LBO or not in terms of when they would need a meeting, but you did have it on the agenda.
Thank you very much, Representative Carlson. I wrote over it when I was putting my notes down to be sure we take care of the minutes and the form. So, future meetings, Ms. Weber, did you have any information, or are you going to just send out like we did before?
Madam Chair and Representative Carlson, I anticipate we will need at least two additional meetings before September 1st. So I'm hopeful that we could bring the commission back together either late in July or very early August for us to present you with a comprehensive overview of all of the standards and procedures, have discussion, and then late in August to take formal action to approve them.
Okay. With that, members, stay tuned for your email. Instruct your staff as well. With the end of session, this was really a rather early meeting, but we just really felt for the sake of the LBO's work, they needed to report to us and get feedback and input at this kind of critical juncture, so it was important to have that. But in the next two meetings, we're really hoping to have a full commission presence, so we'll get out various times like we did this time. We gave you a variety of options, and then we'll try and take the one that has the most able to be in attendance. So please stay tuned to that, and wherever you can, if you can adjust your schedule to try and be here, we understand wedding dates, we understand all kinds of things that are going on, but wherever you can, because as you can tell from the discussion today, those members not here don't have the benefit of either contributing or of hearing all this very valuable discussion. So with that, members, our work being continued, and thank you, Representative Carlson, for that important catch on the future meeting dates and times. With that, members, we are adjourned. Thank you. This doesn't have a...